Never heard of her. Wonder who she is. She sounds like a really cool person. Okay, and it sounds like she did that on accident.
Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. And tonight we have Hadil of Four River Studio, or Four Rivers Studio. Sorry. What's going on?
Nothing. How's it going?
Hi.
It's pretty good.
We're laughing because this is like our third or fourth attempt at trying to get this recording going. But I do want to thank our sponsor, I'd like to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com, you can save 10% on all your carving needs, all your discs, burrs, whatever you need, if you use code WH at sabretooth.com.
And I'd like to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply. You can find him maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca, your one-stop shop for makers. Just a reminder that he does have on the 10-pack of 2x72 belts. Buy 10, save 10%, so you get one for free, and has everything under the sun you could think of, not just the knife shop.
Yeah, he's also sponsoring the Great Lakes Knife Show at Godric, Ontario. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but if you go to Great Lakes Knife Show Instagram, you can find out all the details. That's coming up in August. What is going on, Hadil?
Nothing. Just... I guess I'll just mention again that I'm just working on a garage overhaul reorganization, and it's been like the most boring project of my life, and it's just a necessary thing that needs to happen.
Yeah, painting walls is terrible.
Awful.
Are you gonna make it fun and like paint your logo on the wall and stuff?
You know, when I first started, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to put a coat of primer only because I have to, because it's just drywall and the drywall patches, and just paint the whole thing white sloppily. I just need it to not look like a dungeon.
That's not that bad. Looks like every other shop out there, but a nice coat of white would look cool.
Yeah, it's already like the corner that's white right now looks pretty cool, but.
So it changes the brightness in there too.
It definitely does. Like the way the light even reflects onto us as we're like recording anything, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's good. Then you can get back to making salt cellars and cutting boards and all the fun stuff.
The cutting boards are not that fun, but yeah, everything else is.
Oh, I hate making cutting boards.
Yep.
Talk about monotonous and boring.
For real. And I, you know, what's funny is that recently I was like, okay, we really need to be making a little bit more money. And obviously the reason I think everybody makes cutting boards is because it's an easy stream of revenue. It's like you make them, everybody wants a cutting board or needs a cutting board. It's an easy thing to gift to somebody. So especially our ungrained boards usually go pretty quickly. And I thought it was like being artistic and showing how I'm taking this regular slab of walnut and turning it into an end grain cutting board. I posted it on TikTok. It went viral for all the wrong reasons, but now I'm definitely going to list it at a very high price.
Why did it go viral?
Well, the green pattern, which I don't know how I didn't notice this, but may or may not be reflective of female parts.
No way.
Yeah. So
I gotta look this up.
It has like 460,000 views, and almost every comment is like, yeah, alluding to that. Like, who's gonna tell her? I'm like, no, you know what? 8,000 people have already told me. You don't need to, also. So. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Is it?
Well, I mean, if it goes viral, it goes viral.
Right. And everybody, I've been getting so many emails to the website inquiry form just asking when it's going to be available. So I'm like, you know what? All you TikTokers, just for your immaturity, I'm going to post that thing for really like well over what we would normally price an end grain board for. So
somebody's going to buy it.
Right.
So just let it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it now.
Yep.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Oh, man. But yeah, that'd be fun.
Yep.
You have to come up with a cool name for it.
Some people had some good suggestions, like funny suggestions, but I'm like, this is a serious establishment and I am an artist. I will not call it that.
I'm going to read the comments later.
I just saw it. Yeah. It's like, how's this going to look? Oh, wait a second.
Here I am thinking, I'm like, oh, look, diamonds. And everybody's like, yeah.
These comments are fantastic.
They're pretty funny. I'm not going to lie, but.
Did we all pass the Rorschach test?
Everyone failed.
That's a true charcuterie board.
You know, and the annoying thing about these TikToks that kind of go viral, or any video that kind of gets a lot of views, is the fact that like people start commenting as if the original poster is not going to see, like, doesn't have any idea that people are commenting. So a lot of people are like, you know, I wonder if she knows. I'm like, hello, I'm right here. 8,000 people already told me.
Yeah. The app tells me when you put some.
Right. Jeez. Sir, I get a notification. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. These comments are. We'll talk about that in the after show. I can't figure out how TikTok works. I went on there today and I was going to post. So generally what I do for my TikTok is I just take whatever I post on Instagram and I go over, and sometimes I'll upload it on TikTok. Right. Mm-hmm. And I went on there today and there's some new music rules. So you have to say, yes, I have the rights to all the music in this video. And if you can't, they're going to mute it on you. I don't have rights to any music.
Right.
So I can't post with music unless I post, it's like, is commercial it, music or commercial.
Well, you have to pull it from their app.
I did.
Or you might be set to a business account.
How did that happen?
What, the business account?
Yeah.
You could always change it, just like on Instagram, where you could change it from like a business to a creator account, and it gives you access to a lot more like music that you can use, or even a lot more features that you could use that are a little bit different than the business account.
I must have clicked okay on the business thing.
You can always change it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that. I don't like TikTok.
Me neither. And it's funny because I still don't have it figured out. I just got lucky with a couple of videos kind of doing well over there. But my sister always says, like, you can't just take your Instagram posts and just like, they don't translate well over on TikTok, because TikTok is usually ahead of the trends, and like whatever trends on TikTok first is usually what ends up trending on Instagram later. And she's like, there's a different style too. So, I mean, she's only 2 years younger than me, but she's acting like I'm like a different generation completely. She's like, you just don't understand us young TikTok folks. But yeah, I still haven't figured it out. Apparently there was like a bunch of people stitching the video of my board, of the board, the cutting board that I made, that I had no idea about. And my husband's like, do you know that you could change like what kind of notifications you see? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
So how come you haven't posted that reel?
For that reason.
Yeah, but you could be going viral on Instagram too.
You know, I don't care about going viral on Instagram. I think it's overrated.
But you're a big influencer. You have to. You're the influencer.
I'm the anti-influencer.
Yeah.
I hate influencer culture so bad. And I think this need for everybody to go viral has led to so many people just creating garbage content. that's useless and doesn't serve any purpose, and it's boring to me.
I posted a reel today for that reason. It's the most boring, terrible reel ever. It's a drill bit coming down to a piece of wood. Doesn't even go all the way through the wood. And I put, wait for it. I filmed it in slow motion, so absolutely nothing happens, and I waste a minute of everyone's life. And then they're like, maybe I missed it, maybe I didn't, let me watch it again. So yeah, that's
the wait for it. The wait for it drives me crazy. Like, and then especially when it's like something totally anticlimactic, like,
oh, this is as anticlimactic as possible. Only one person commented on it though, which is nice. It was Corey over at CT Woodwork. He goes, that's one long dramatic haul. I walked the dog, had a cup of coffee, and answered 10 emails by the time that one hole was drilled. fantastic.
But I mean, I don't know. Do you like, and also like what purpose does going viral serve? Like, I get some influencers, they're just after the numbers because for them that translates directly to the amount of money that sponsors will pay for, you know, for access to their audience when it comes to like sponsorships and all that. But I don't know, like to me, that's I haven't had any kind of like paid sponsorships yet, but I mean, I did one pitch to a brand and I was telling them, look, you could take an account that has 100,000 followers that has had like several TikToks go viral, which is why they have 100,000 followers, and compare them to like a smaller account that's less than 10,000 followers, but look at the engagement rate. So in reality, you're seeing that smaller accounts sometimes have more leverage with their audiences, with a larger audience than, you know, accounts that have over 100,000 followers, because the engagement ratios, like if 50% of my audience, I mean, if I like before I had 10,000 followers, if like 40% of my audience was engaging versus less than 1% of an audience of 100,000 followers, that just translates to more eyeballs on your work, you know?
Yeah. More active, more calls to action.
Exactly.
From your 40% versus that 1%.
Right. And the brand was like, you know, we never really thought of that. I'm like, yeah, because it's so easy to be like, okay, this is this person's value because 100,000 people said, oh, okay, I'm going to follow this person. I'm like, but what does that mean? How does that translate into sales for you?
Yeah. The other thing is you like, I'm no advertising genius or anything, but my thing is all these people with 100, 200, 300,000 followers or whatever, they're posting 2, 3, 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. So even if you pay that person and to make a post, right? So let's say you have this wrench that you want to sell, right? And I say, all right, Hadil, I want you to do a post and put this out. But you have 100,000 followers because you post 3 times a day. Do you know how fast that gets buried?
Yeah.
On Instagram or TikTok? It's gone like that. It's just, see ya.
Right.
So
and it's like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I know people that have, you know, a huge following, but can't sell anything, you know, like I have a hard time selling even like a good product. So it's like, okay, what is your follower count doing for you? So So, I mean, and I really hope, I mean, the accounts that I usually enjoy the most, they rarely have, I mean, sometimes they do, but it's not very frequently that it's just somebody that has a large following. Like some of the accounts that I enjoy following the most are like smaller accounts.
Yeah. I think the account size came from like, you know, The Rock or the Kardashians and the Jenners, and where when they mention something, people listen, right? But it's not because they have millions of followers. Right. It's just that people want to listen to those people for whatever reason.
Right.
But the fact that they have a million gets a huge return. So people think, oh, like in the maker community, I must have to get the guy with the most followers, when that doesn't necessarily mean that they have any influence on their followers, just that people like to watch that stuff.
Right.
You know, I would bet the guy with 2,000 followers has more influence over those 2,000 people that want to follow him than somebody who has 200,000, because the 200,000 are watching for, and well, probably 198,000 of those 200,000 are watching for entertainment purposes.
Right. And also, like, if you're just chasing the number, there's two things to that for me. Is like, the first thing is you're out there like trying to grow your number, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But then how are you serving the people who opted in to actually like see what you're doing and like benefit from anything, even like whether it's entertainment or inspiration or whatever it is, like how are you serving those people? And I'm not saying serving as like you owe anybody anything, but I'm just saying like, what good are you putting out? And what is the stuff that you're putting out? Like what purpose is it serving? But also, if your goal is a number, there's no cap on numbers. So it's like, when are you ever going to be happy? Like, my goal is to reach 10K. Okay, I reached 10K. Now what? Next goal is to reach 50K. Okay, you reached it. Now what? So it's just like that goal is so arbitrary that it's just like, if you're going to associate your value with those kinds of numbers, when are you ever going to be happy with like the work that you're producing? And that to me is like the bigger deal. The bigger deal to me is like, I want to actually make things that I think are well made and beautiful, and like things that I'm trying to like learn from, things that I'm trying to like expand my education, expand my skill set. That's my whole goal. And it's, I feel like for me, I'm personally just trying to take people through that journey, because it looks very different than a lot of the journeys that I've seen where people actually sometimes know what they're doing. And like, and to me, it's very important that somebody who's watching me is like, okay, it's possible to kind of go from point A of just imagining a concept to point B of actually like making something, but having no idea to get from point A to point B. Like, this whole thing is about figuring it out. And it might not be like a smooth sailing journey. And it might not be as like, you know, flawless of a journey as like somebody that you'd see on YouTube. I can't crank a project out in like a couple days and just zoom through the next ones. Like, it's not that easy for me. And I feel like a lot of people are intimidated to actually start projects for that reason.
Why would they be intimidated to start the project?
I think people sometimes think that like they'll face an obstacle and they'll be like, okay, this is probably not meant for me. Or maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. And it's, I think a lot of people don't realize that nobody knows what they're doing when they first start. I think you learn by figuring out how to overcome whatever obstacles you're facing. And that's how you learn. And I don't think a lot of people, like the YouTubers that I used to watch when I was young, like when I wanted to start woodworking probably a decade ago, and I should have, but I was watching, and I think a lot of people that are putting some content out are putting it out with the understanding that, with the assumption that people have a certain level of understanding, when I think most people that are interested in something are too afraid to like ask very beginner questions, which is kind of, Keith, how you and I started talking is, I saw you carving and I was like, that's something that I want to do. And I have no clue. Like, what's that thing you're using?
Yeah.
And you were so like, you could have been like, okay, you idiot. Like, that's called a burr. And I am carving. This activity is called wood carving.
That's no. Keith. That's what he would do.
That's not at all what I would do. I'm not the nicest guy, but I'll help anyone out that asks for help.
Yeah. But your response was really like, that, you know, I always tell you, like, you were kind of my gateway into woodworking or power carving. Like, yeah. If I hadn't asked you those really basic questions, I would have been too intimidated.
Look how the tables have turned. Now I go to you. How do I do that? Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, I think if somebody wants to do it, they're just going to like they're not going to see something or an obstacle. They're just going to go for it and keep going. Right. So like you wanted a power carve and I'm sure you had plenty of mistakes along the way. Like all of us, you got into it, you did it and you moved on. Right. You kept going. I think the people who want to try something because they saw it, oh, that sounds fun. Then they're not real. Like their heart's not in it. They're not going to keep going.
I agree somewhat, but I also think that, I mean, some people just feel like if they don't have all the information from the beginning, then even if they're like, I don't know, like I would have, like, I remember I bought a router. I bought a router in 2013 and I opened it up in like 2020 was my first time using it. And
there goes the warranty.
Right. I know. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It was a Ryobi one. We've since replaced it, but it wasn't like that crazy of an investment or anything. And, you know, we gave it away within the first year, but every video that I would watch on about this router thing would be like, this is how many RPMs it's got. And like, let's talk about this and that. I'm like, no, no, no. Explain to me like I'm five. What is like, I know it's supposed to create a profile. Like it's most supposed to, I can make grooves with it, but how?
It's probably the most useful tool in the wood shop.
It is. It's probably my most used tool when I'm not power carving.
There used to be a TV show and this is way back in the day, but it was, I think it was called The Router Show. I think you can find it online. Or no, it was The Router Shop and everything they made was on a router. They used the router like you would use your table saw. They use a router for everything. They assembled everything with routers.
I believe it.
And they would go over the jigs and explain to you how to use a router and all that stuff.
See, even like I would see people using templates with the router and I was like, how did they do that without cutting into the template? Not realizing, oh, nice.
That's it.
The router wood or workshop.
Yeah. But again, I was watching these clips of people just running something through the router with a router table with, you know, and that was all they showed. And I'm like, I didn't know what the fact that you could get a router that, you know, you could ride along the template and not cut into the template. Like something that basic, I didn't know. And I was like too embarrassed to ask because I'm like, I'm going to sound like an idiot, you know?
What about now that you're in the sphere? Do you hold back on asking questions of things you don't know?
I don't because
you just ask.
Right. Now that I feel like some people will maybe think that I know a little bit of what I'm talking about, but it's very intimidating to go to somebody and be like, hey, because I get messages all the time. Like, I want to start. How do I start? Where do I start from? What do you recommend I do? And for me, I usually say like, if you can afford to take a 101 class.
Oh yeah.
Like start from the very beginning. And I wish I did that before I started all this. I did it last years when I took a 101 class. And that was when I learned that the importance of a very sharp chisel.
Yeah. It's a game changer having a sharp chisel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had the same experience. I wish I would have taken a course sooner, but I took my first official course was this spring, I guess. And yeah, I'm going to do another one because I'm not going to stop. So.
Right. And the cool thing about those courses is that like the biggest thing that it teaches you is how much you have to learn about things. That was for me, like just even the process of sharpening a chisel. Like I've seen people do it on Instagram, but what was the proper order of operations, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely for me. It was a reassurance that I was in the right path. Like I was on the right track. But then, yeah, like order operations, like for blacksmithing is pretty key. I mean, the same with woodworking, I'm sure, but you know, you only cut it once.
Right.
Measure twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a huge proponent of in-person instruction. Mm-hmm. I don't, everyone's like, oh, I went to YouTube University. It shows, you know?
Right.
right. And I'm not the best at anything, right? but I know a lot about a lot. So I feel like I'm doing okay. And yet I still have a ton to learn and a ton to, I still find out new techniques now that I didn't know, ways to do things the proper way. And I went to school for it. You know, I was going to be a shop teacher. I had 4 years of quote unquote school. And yet I would still take classes now if they were close, available, and affordable.
I had somebody on one of my TikTok videos. I showed like how I was cutting mortise and tenons with basically the drill press and just cleaning it out with the mortise. I like hollowed it out with a drill press and then cleaned the rest of it up with a chisel. And somebody's like, I've been doing woodworking for 25 years and I've never seen it done that way. And like, not in a mean way, but just like, wow, like that's an interesting way to do it. And that I only learned from like watching, I was watching a lot of like videos from Woodworkers Guild of America. And that's what kind of made me want to take like an in-person class, because that's, it just, I was like, man, I have so much to learn.
Do you, I assume you do, and you probably don't know it yet, but is there a woodworking guild near you?
There is. They just,
are you a member?
I'm not. So I'm not. And it's funny because my shop, my 101 instructor was like, you should join. And some other classmate of mine who lives like near me was also telling me the same thing. But I feel like, I know this is like a me problem, because I've never really been in a space where people are like, I mean, this mostly true, where people are not like welcoming or whatever, but they meet at a church. And I'm just like, I feel like I would look really strange, even though, fun fact, this is totally unrelated, I went to preschool at a church. But anyway, and like, I have home videos of my, of me as a little child singing like, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. But anyway, I just feel like it would, I know the, like the demographics of woodworkers in my area, especially. And I feel like if I rolled up to a church as a woodworker, I would feel very out of place. And again, that's not saying that anybody would do that to me. It's just like, I would feel very out of place.
Yeah. But I still recommend it.
I've been thinking about it. I really have been.
That's a minor hurdle to get over.
Right. You know?
It's not like you're meeting inside the church. You're meeting in the rec room or right. something of a church. Because the one that I belong to here, and I haven't gone since COVID, but they meet in a church too, which I thought was weird. But it's a cheap spot for them to be. That's why they do it there. They meet in a church. And it's just all these people who are not, I mean, the majority of them are not on any social media. Mm-hmm. You go there and every week there's a new demo of a new technique. People bring in whatever they have to do and they show you and they teach you. It's one more thing to learn every week or month or whenever they meet, you know.
Right.
It's worth it. It's like a one fee thing, and then you have that resource. And then if you are working on a project at home, you can go there on that monthly meeting and be like, hey, I'm about to do this, and I don't know if I know the best way to do it, because sometimes your YouTube search ain't going to come up with the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then you have a group of people there that are going to be like, no, I would do it this way. Well, if you do it that way, you may run into this, so do it this way. Or in that particular wood species, I've noticed this. Like, it's right there, everyone in person talking about it. And they may even say, yeah, we'll bring it in next month and we'll take a look at it, you know, if it's something weird, right? And that's cool.
Yeah, I really do. And that's one thing that I was thinking about, like that real-time feedback from people who are actually experienced would be really cool. But again, it's just a hurdle for me that I need to overcome.
I will say, though, when I joined that one, now it's a little different, but when I joined it, I was the youngest guy. There was a couple guys that are close to my age, but I was like the youngest guy who went on the first night I went by about 30 years.
That's not making me feel any more confident about this decision to join.
Right. But this is what I'm getting at. So then I'm like, this is weird, but you know, I paid my dues or whatever.
Right.
So I go back the next time, and then it wasn't just a bunch of old guys. There was some younger guys, and then I may have skipped a month or two, and then I went back, and then it wasn't just guys. There was a bunch of females there, and then there was people younger than me, and then then it was like, all right, this is cool. But not everyone shows every month is my point. So right. just because you go there and there's a certain demographic doesn't mean that demographic is the only demographic in that guild.
Yeah. I mean, also, it's like totally something that I just know I need to personally get over. And I think when it comes to that, I usually get in my head more than, you know, more than it's warranted. But yeah, it's just a yeah. hurdle.
I figure you being in the Chicago area, though, it's probably a pretty good group of people.
You would think. I'm not in I'm not in the city. I work in the city, but Chicago itself is very diverse and young and whatever it is. Anything outside of Chicago is not like that. So like anything outside in the suburbs, especially like in the west suburbs where I'm at, is not like that. So, which is fine. It's like I said, it's not anything that anybody would, you know, probably say to me or do anything to make me uncomfortable. It's just me.
Yeah. It's like, it's the same thing though. It's like asking that question, right? You didn't want to ask the question on social media because you didn't want to feel dumb.
Right.
And then once you did, it was fine.
Right.
Right. And now you have all these people that you can ask all these questions. So the same thing would be by going to the guild, but then it's in person.
Right.
I highly recommend it.
I will. I'll probably revisit that. Especially I want to take like the turning class, especially at the Chicago's woodworking school in Chicago School of Woodworking. Chicago School of Woodworking is where I did the 101 class. I was going to do the 102, which is getting more so into furniture building with power tools, but our schedules were just kind of crazy. But the one that I really wanted to take was like all the wood turning classes. And I actually, so I went to visit my sister in Seattle and I met up with a bunch of woodworkers over there that I had kind of met through Instagram. And one of them who he's on Instagram, but like his account is private. He's just an instructor at Pratt School of Fine Arts or something. And he does a lot of wood turning. He does a lot of like spoon carving and all that. And he was saying that he's teaching a course called like, I don't remember what, but the concept was like how to turn something unique on the lathe, like not just a bowl or, you know, something like that, but something really unique, creative wood turning is what it was going to be called. And I was like, I would come back to Seattle just for that. I mean, also to see my sister and niece and nephew, but
yeah,
but yeah, I think education to me is like one of the most underlooked areas of this whole thing. And I think people like just assume that, like you said, they could get all their information off YouTube University, but there's really nothing like getting that real time feedback from somebody who's actually experienced. And that's something that I kind of learned from being a nurse is like, those really experienced nurses probably are some of the people that I can credit most to me being the nurse that I am today. Is just like, yeah, the textbook says this, but let me tell you my experience, which is a lot more real and important than a textbook, is like, this is how to approach something like this situation. And that feedback has been invaluable. And I really wish that people would just take the plunge and dive more into education.
Yeah, especially for in our realm, the wood turning is it's like welding. In-person welding instruction is always better than anything. But for wood turning, for me, is you can learn on YouTube University, which is not how I learned how to turn, but people do, and they can get results, right? But they may not be doing it right, and they may not know they're doing it right. They follow the instructions, but their tool rest is too high. They're holding their tool down too low, right? And then you go to one class and the guy's like, lower your tool rest, raise your elbow, right? Turn the skew this way or that way, or turn the tool this way. And then all of a sudden, everything works easy and it's working properly and correct. And they didn't know that they were doing it wrong. They were getting the result they wanted, but it was hard on their tools, you know, hard on them. And then all of a sudden they can do it perfect. And they're like, oh, and they set everything up close, but maybe they were a quarter inch too high, or, you know, they were holding their tool wrong. YouTube doesn't have that feedback loop, you know? In-person instruction, you go to a beginner class and get expert advice on a beginner class by those little things that you don't know.
Right. Right. And just because somebody has like a large following on YouTube or whatever platform doesn't mean they're going to give you everything that you need.
Well, if you have a large YouTube following and then you come to find out, you know, talk to these people or something they learned on YouTube University, like, okay, I mean, you may make great stuff, but I'm not going to take your advice, you know what
right.
I mean? And it's no disrespect to them. They're probably making stuff better than me, but I want to learn from somebody who does it every day, you know?
Right.
Yeah, those are the accounts I want to find. I always enjoy coming across an account that's someone, like, especially for the smithing side of it for me, is someone who's professional, does it every day, and they post, like, once in a blue moon. But when you mm-hmm. do get something, it's solid, it's different. It's not trying to get something out every day. Like, that's kind of why I do what I do. I never post.
Except for the month of May. I'm not trying to discredit the people that learn on YouTube University and pump stuff out every day. Because sometimes I see something they make and it inspires me to make something, right?
Right.
I'm never going to copy what they do. But because they're just cranking out stuff, they have that creative mind, right? They don't have the... maybe the expertise I'm looking for in a technique, right? So I'm not going to go to them for their techniques, but their ideas and creativity I'm going to go for.
They get the end result, which, you know, they get the 70 to 80% of the skill down. They just might not have like that, what you're talking about with the turning. They might not have that. They're beating their tools up, but getting the end result.
Right. Also, I do think it's like a it's nice to have YouTube if you don't have access to a class because they can be expensive. And not everybody has the resources or even like, you know, not just the financial resources, but also like the time and their schedule to like take on a course. But I also think that people don't realize that there's a lot of scholarship opportunities for classes. If you just look for them, they're out there.
Yeah.
So actually, and I think Keith, I might've mentioned this to you, but in September, I'm actually taking a class, at Lost Art Press, like a chair making class. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm also like, what am I thinking? I've never made a chair, which is kind of why I applied. Cause I'm like, this is something so out of my wheelhouse and something that I don't think I could ever figure out on my own. Like I need somebody to walk me through this. And it seems like such a big thing. And the fact that they were like, yeah, sure. We'll give you a scholarship to attend this class. And I'm going to drive down there. It's 4 hours away. Like I just have to pay for my accommodation. Like it's like such a crazy opportunity. And I'm so excited for it.
Congratulations. That is awesome.
Thank you. But again, education, there's resources out there if you just look for them. And I see things like that all the time with different schools of woodworking and stuff all around the country. And it's like, if I didn't have the schedule that I have, like actually my nursing schedule is pretty flexible, but you know, my husband's schedule is not the most flexible and I have kids. So I'm like, sometimes if I had less, you know, responsibilities, I would totally just go and take on one of these like, you know, class opportunities or, you know, some of them are a whole semester long. And if you are interested, there's always opportunities.
Yeah. I remember I took the welding classes down here at Underground. And when I was there was a kid there in my class. He was like, I don't know, 16 or 17. I don't know. He got dropped off every day. I don't know if he was able to drive yet or just didn't have a car or what. No, he had a car. I don't know. So he was a young kid and Stephanie, the teacher, kept saying, you got to sign up. Like he wanted to be a welder as a job. You know, she's like, you got to sign up for the scholarships. You got to sign up for the scholarships. And he would like hem and haw like most kids do, you know? So finally one day, like before class, she's like, listen, you got to sign up for the scholarship. Bring the paperwork I gave you back. They don't get enough people signing up. So chances are you may not get the full ride scholarship, but you're going to get something. You need to sign up for it. They have all this money to give away from donations from all these societies and stuff. She's like, for this one, whatever he was going to do, I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention. But she's like, get your parents in here. I'll help you fill out the paperwork, but you should sign up because you may get a scholarship. And sure enough, by the end of the class, because it was like a 7-week class or something, he had gotten the scholarship.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
Like you said, there's like not enough people signing up for these things. And
well, because it's work and people don't want to do the work. There's an application process. You got to write an essay. You got to do this. You got to do that. People don't want to put in the work, but then they want to complain that they don't get the opportunity. You know, you can't win the lottery unless you buy the ticket. You can't get the ticket till you get off your ass and get the car and go down to the store and buy a ticket. It's the same thing with the scholarship or a grant or whatever you want.
Right. And this might be a little, I don't know how some people will take this, but there's, you know, women, you know, are always like, we're always like, we want to be, you know, there, a lot of these scholarships are actually geared towards women. Like you get like there, some of them are just for women. So to me, I'm just like, follow those leads and see where they take you. Because I really don't believe in just being like, you know, where's my opportunity if you're not actually going to try to go out there and get it, you know, that's just my take on it.
Especially if, I mean, a lot of people who get into the making are doing it as a hobby, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe they want to escape their job or whatever, and they're already making money here. They're trying to make an extra side hustle here. If you could benefit your side hustle for free by getting a scholarship to take a class, a 1-week class here or there, or a day class, whatever it is, why would you not take that opportunity?
Right. Exactly. It
doesn't make any sense.
Right. And it's funny because like you don't necessarily need all of this. You don't necessarily need the education or need the classes and need the scholarships and all that to make and sell a good product. But at the same time, like, if I want to sell a product, I want to make sure that it's like a good quality product. And how am I going to make sure of that if I don't have the right, you know, the right education to back what I'm doing?
Yeah. It comes down to the same ideas like tool, like we've talked about it before on here about tooling and different tools. Like sometimes you need that higher quality tool to be more efficient. And what you're saying is like schooling will help you make a better product or be more efficient at making that product.
Exactly. How long have you been, you do mostly welding. You don't do woodworking as much, Tony, right?
I don't do any woodworking.
Any woodworking.
I'm a do-it-yourself carpenter for stuff around my house. But other than that, I don't do any woodworking. I can cut a 2x4.
I don't remember the last time I've done that. Actually, for this garage overhaul, I've been using a lot of like construction lumber and all that. But other than that, it's been a while.
Clean those blades.
Yeah.
But
I
getting back
done
to the
that in a while either.
Getting back to the in-person instruction, I know the three of us have all been pushing schools, but you could go to a community event like a Hammer Inn or any of these maker meetups and stuff and learn from those people too. Like I know we push it all the time. I'm going to say it again. Maker Camp. If you go to Maker Camp, right. I went to Maker Camp. I met Tony there or whatever. And he's like, oh, did you try blacksmithing? I'm like, no, I didn't. So we go over there and he goes off to do his thing. And I'm standing there waiting for Brett to teach me. And the guy next to me just happens to start talking to me. He's like, oh, you never did this before. You want to do it? Blah, blah, blah. And he's just showing me the ropes. And it's Moonshine Metalworks. Like, he knows what he's doing. And he's just the guy standing next to me, right? And he showed me how to do it. And there you go. So you can learn from those things as well. You don't have to necessarily pay big money to go to these events.
Right.
Or these classrooms. You can go to events is what I'm saying.
I was actually going to ask, are you going to Maker Camp this year?
Of course.
Okay.
Tell me you don't listen to the podcast.
I do. No. I know that you're going. I'm trying to go, but we're like working out logistics. Like where do we, or do we fly into, I don't know.
You fly into Albany.
Right. But is there even, we were thinking of maybe like renting an RV or something.
So there are there are a bunch of services for RVs around the area. And some other people have done these where you call and you say, I want to rent an RV. I want it to be at the Blackthorn. I'm going to be there this day to this day. And they will deliver the RV there.
Oh.
Or trailer or whatever it is. You have to obviously call and reserve the hookups, right? Mm-hmm. So you call the Blackthorn and they say, okay. And then the service will bring an RV there, park it there. And then it's like your hotel room for the weekend.
Nice.
You don't have to drive it anywhere. You don't have to hook it up. You don't have to disconnect it. When you leave, you walk out the door, you say, it's locked up. I'm leaving. Come pick it up.
That's cool. I have points. So I'm trying to, you know, use them for miles so that we can travel with as little fees as possible. But yeah, that's one thing that I've been wanting to do forever. And I do listen to this podcast. You know, Andrew from Hatch Made It?
Yeah.
I started following him when you guys talked about the harp that he made for his wife. Like, when was that? Last year, 2 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, two Christmases ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So that's when I first started following him. And he's actually one of my favorite follows now. Yeah. Like, he's hilarious. And
you and him need to do a collaboration for your influencer voices. It would be phenomenal. Oh,
so, okay.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. Today I have Andrew from Hatch Made It with me. But, okay, he actually told me, like, we were joking back and forth about how people, like, say weird things on the internet. And he was like, you should totally do a video. Because somebody had mentioned like something about me being like a radical Muslim, whatever, and like, whatever, grain of salt. But he was like, you should do a video of you being a radical Muslim, but radical in a way where you're like on a skateboard and just like riding around.
Surfing or something.
Right. And I'm like, oh my God, I totally have to do that one day. I just have no idea how I'd record that. Like my neighbors, who I mean, I am friends with, I know all my neighbors really well, would be like, what is this girl doing on her son's scooter or son's like Spider-Man just bike or something? I know.
This episode comes out Wednesday. So if you want to have this reel done, you got to get out there tomorrow.
We'll see.
That would be hilarious.
I've been wanting to. I actually, at some point, I started recording. I was outside in the driveway. It was like recording on my son's scooter with my like Spider-Man helmet, with his Spider-Man helmet. And then every time a neighbor would come, I would just pretend like, oh, it's so embarrassing. I don't know how people like influencers out in public actually just manage to just record themselves.
I think it comes down to the amount of money they're making.
I guess.
Or the amount of money they believe they can make.
True.
You know, like, 'cause some of these people are making some pretty solid money with their influencer programs.
Right. But I don't know if any amount of money can convince me to do like a TikTok dance on like a busy road where people are just walking past you. Something about that it's the level of cringe. Sorry. If you do that, I'm not judging, but I am. So
you should go to the beach and see what people are doing for their TikTok videos.
So last year we went to the Maldives. It was like a 10-year anniversary trip that we saved up for literally 3 years to go. But when we were there, the videos that we would see people record was so funny. So we did like a parody one of it, like a parody of like me walking like to the room and like doing a tour. Oh my God, guys, like, can you believe this view and whatever? But I mean, I did not post it because even just as a joke, I was just, it's too cringy.
You'll post it soon enough.
It's been over a year.
I saw that with, we just did a family trip to DC and then back up through New York and Boston. And when we were in New York, we were at the Brooklyn Bridge and between the Brooklyn Bridge and Manhattan Bridge. And you saw people like doing the jump so that they could get caught with a picture of them jumping in the air with the Brooklyn Bridge behind them. And I was like, this is so like, it was just like everybody with, they set up and like there was one fence there that there was a corner, they set in the corner, then they do like four or five poses, the bridge is behind them. It's like, I'm going to keep walking. This is ridiculous.
I think it's even weirder when they, like when people start including their children, like they're having their children like do things over and over and over again to get the perfect shot or the perfect, whatever it is. And it's just for social media. And I'm like, how about you just look at the mountain view? How about let the kid enjoy the trip? You know, I don't know. Well,
I know one girl who made a cutting board look like a woman's.
Never heard of her. Wonder who she is. She sounds like a really cool person. Okay. And it sounds like she did that on accident. She sounds like a very classy lady who probably didn't notice until it went viral on TikTok and got 8,000 comments about it.
But then you got like, my dad does it. They take a picture or something, but then it's got the selfie with his mug in the corner. And I'm like, why? You just ruined good view. Like, I know what your face looks like. I know you're taking the picture. I know that you're there. I don't need to see you in it.
There needs to be proof, okay? There needs to be proof that he was there.
You take that photo, but then you take the photo without you in it, and you share that, you know? One for the scrapbook, one for the other people.
There's no such thing as a scrapbook anymore, though. The scrapbook is these things. Like,
do you remember when we were kids and people were like, oh, I went on a vacation, you want to see my photos? And everyone's like, no, not at all. And now everyone is clamoring to see everyone's vacation photos.
But let's be real. Who's actually looking at all these vacation photos? Like, people are posting them as if everybody cares. And I don't think a lot of people care. I could be wrong because I'm not really the best at social media. But if you're going to post like 7,000 pictures of your trip, I'm probably going to skip all of that.
I like the people who curate it down to like 5 photos.
Right. Right. Like, oh, that's a beautiful view. Maybe I should visit that national park someday, but I don't need every single angle and every single, you know, minute of your day and like what you ate at every single restaurant. Like, I don't know. I also get really bored very easily. So I understand that a lot of the issues and things that I have about social media, it's probably just a me problem. But I get bored so easily. I have the attention span of a fish. And so that's who I create content for, is people like me.
Yeah, I see that. I could see that.
I just get bored so easily, which is like this whole garage overhaul. I thought like, you know, for a while, that's all I'm doing. I'm not making anything. And so I need to make content out of that. And I quickly realized I'm boring myself. So it's like, so far I got to part 3, and I think that's where it's just going to end, because I'm so, so bored with that content that I'm just going to.
Here's part 4. We're done.
That's exactly what it's going to. I'm probably not even going to show like a reveal. It's just going to be like me making a project in the new space. Like,
you remember like 3 or 4 years ago, there used to be like the one shot where somebody would be holding the camera and like showing a messy room, and then they would snap their fingers and it would be clean. That's what you should do at your garage.
Just
take that initial view and then snap your fingers in there, and then it's done.
The funny thing is that I used to approach social media with just like, how are people doing things? Because I didn't know, like in my mind, I didn't really know how things worked. So I'm like, what are the people that are doing well doing in order for them to do well? And so I do pretty much exactly what they were doing, down to the transitions, down to the music and this and that. And it was fine, like, but it just wasn't, like, even posing with projects, like, it's fine, it works for people, but it's just not me. Like, it doesn't feel genuine to me. So to me, I'm just like, yeah, I think I'm just going to approach this a little bit differently so that I'm not cringing at my own content. I do a lot of cringing, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah. I want to follow Tony's school of thought. He has a social media account.
Right. That's about it. I'm kidding.
He did do Made for Makers. But no, I I post what I want to see.
Right.
And that's it. And it could be boring to you, and that's fine. Move past it. You know, I don't care. I'm not here for you. It's like a little scrapbook, everything I've done.
Right. No, but I mean, the difference is, like, I don't care if somebody's constantly just posting trends. Like, or I mean, if somebody's posting a lot of trends, but to me, if that's like all you're posting, none of your projects are original, none of your content is curated in an original way. Like, it's boring to me. And I know people aren't creating content for me, so it's not a problem. Not everyone is for everyone. Like, there's hundreds of thousands of people who will enjoy that. I just, again, I'm bored very easily by a lot of things.
Do you feel that you have a curated page?
I do, in a way. So I actually have started posting like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, just because I feel like that's a realistic time, like a realistic schedule for me. But also, I did notice that, like, if I have things that are scheduled, it kind of keeps me on track with like everything, with like projects and deadlines that I'm setting for myself. But I also want to curate it a little bit, because I do want to kind of go in a direction where I'm doing a little bit of commissioned artwork. And I feel like your profile is a little bit of a portfolio, and as uncurated as I am, like, I feel like also at the same time, my content is becoming a little bit more unhinged, because I'm just that way. it's like hard for me to find a balance. So for me, it's just like the cover photo will sometimes be something nicer, but if you like actually go into the videos, you'll see more of my personality.
Yeah, that's one thing I haven't done yet, is take a better cover photo for the reel.
I have to do it, just because we also post a lot of our product on our website. So we need to have like good product photos.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, it's been weird finding that, especially with like the garage stuff. Like, I'm in a painter suit. Like, what? There's no way to make a nice cover photo for any of the garage content. So I'm like thinking of just like taking all of those off of my main feed, because they are absolutely ridiculous. But
there's always a delete button.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of deleting things, though, because even the things that I look back on, I'm like, what am I doing? It's kind of like a reminder of like where I was at some point, like where my mind space was at some point. And like, what have I done since then that I think is in the right direction? And what have I done that's like taken me a step back? So, I keep it all.
Wow. I look forward to when you get back to woodworking.
Me too.
But with that, Tony, what do you say we thank our patrons?
Yes, let's do this. All right. So we have Corey of Odyssey CNC, the Etsy Boys, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beck with Makes, NB Woodfinery, and then our top tier, we have Eastpoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of MaritimeKniveSupply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Green Street Joinery, Vincent Ferrari of Digitally Creative, Brian Housewort of Workfort Podcast, Artigino Sorio, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Do Construction, and Tony of Kodamo Designs. Thank you all.
Yes, thank you very much. As you know, we've been promoting it for a while. Gnomehammer Forge is hooked up with us, and he does a waffle every month. And if you're a patron of ours, you can get in on that. Last month, he gave away a hammer. This month, he's given away a church anvil that he made, a little benchtop anvil. Yeah.
They call it a church window.
Sorry, anvil. Church window anvil. It looks like an aqueduct. It's pretty cool looking. It's a benchtop anvil, so it could be used for a variety of things. If you're a leather worker, jewelry worker, anything, really, if you need something to hammer on your bench. But that gets given away today. But if you want to join next month, you could become a patron of ours, a patron of his, or check out his page. You could buy specific waffle tickets right on his page. DM yep. him, find out how. Last month, one of our patrons won. I don't know who won yet this month, but tonight is the giveaway announcement, or today. And Tony has that name.
I have that name.
Drum roll, please.
As luck would have it, it is another patron.
No way, really?
And it is Vincent Ferrari of Digitally Creative.
Look at that.
So, hope he'll enjoy it.
I wonder what he'll use it for. We'll find out.
Benchtop stuff.
Benchtop stuff. But yeah, I would definitely check into that if you're interested in hammers or anvils, or I don't know what he's going to make next month. I'm sure he'll let us know. We'll tell you next week. But if you go back to the episode he was on, you can hear how many entries you get. I think up to 7 entries for one of ours, 20 entries for one of his patrons. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. I have it written down here somewhere.
Yeah. Anything else, Sadil?
Nothing. It's funny because I recognize a lot of the people on your Patreon list, and Annette, who is my sworn enemy of the woodworking world. And
talk about taking classes.
Right. She's on fire. You know what? She's nuts. She's
fantastic. Yeah,
she's overrated. Whatever. Annette, whatever, Annette. Anyway. Also, is his name Joe from Butt Joints?
Ed Johns,
that's what it is. Hilarious. Another funny, like one of my favorite follows.
That dumpster thing he did you see it? Where he set up an office in the dumpster. He recently moved and he got a dumpster to throw away a bunch of stuff. So he set up an office and he's like, this new office space is great. Let me know what the rent is.
I'm always sending his videos like to my husband, and like we're always like watching them snickering.
I loved, and I hope they bring it back. I liked when him and Hatch get in a battle. Oh, it's fantastic.
Those battles are so good.
Hopefully when Hatch gets back, they get into another battle.
Right.
If you haven't been watching Hatch's videos on YouTube, go check him out. He's documenting this whole 8,000-kilometer trip, and it's pretty interesting. They're all quick. It's quick videos, but they're not shorts. They're videos, but they're done well.
He's getting after it. They're getting through that trip a lot quicker than I expected. Like, he's already been to the northernmost point, and now he's on his way back down.
Yeah, good for him.
So
it's awesome.
A couple more housekeeping things. If you don't already know, if you are going to Maker Camp, we will be doing the Maker Swap again. Time's running out. I think you have like 15 more weekends or less. You could do the math. You guys know when it is and how many weekends are here and there. But if you're a hobbyist like me, that's not many. So if you are going to do an item and you want to show off your skills, it's probably time to start planning. Just saying, Maker Swap. You want to be the wow of that table, show off your skills. I will be up at the Speedway this weekend. So if you're there, come say hi. Tony, you got any final words before the after show?
No, it's been nice to be quiet on this show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Tony tunes out. the minute the word wood is mentioned, he tunes right out. So if you want to find Hadil, you can find her at Four River Studios on Instagram, and TikTok.
Only studio. One studio. There's Four Rivers, one studio.
Four Rivers, one studio.
That's okay.
Is it the same on TikTok?
Yes.
And YouTube?
Yeah, just our YouTube's a little sad, so.
Or you can go to fourriversstudio.com, right?
Yeah, so for the website, it's the number 4 Rivers Studio.
Or check the link in bio.
Sure.
As all the influencers are saying.
Hashtag link in bio. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely check her out. Support her if you're not already. She is a fantastic follow. Sometimes her husband comes on and gives you fantastic choices in music. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast, or you can send us an email if you want to rate and review the show. 5 stars is always appreciated. If you do leave a 5-star review, I will read it out online. We haven't had one in a while, so I'm looking forward to the next one. If you're a patron, you get an after show. We'll be there now, and I will talk to you guys next week. Later.
Later.
Bye.